This is Phil Ferrand. And I am driving home. And I'm enjoying my toasty car. Today, it's been cold. Well, not cold. Cool here. It has been cool. Unseasonably cool. At least I think it's unseasonably cool. I don't really remember from year to year. I would have to look up the statistics. But it is May. And it's been down in the 40s. And so it's a little chilly. I am actually wearing my hoodie. But I'm in my nice toasty car now. So I don't actually need it, come to think of it. And while I'm waiting to get turned out into the street here, I may go ahead and get my hoodie off. Taken off. Ah, here we go. It's been a good week. I don't think I'm coming in tomorrow. Everything seems to be running fine and everyone's content and happy, at least, you know, as can be expected. I'm still not done with the book, although I'm really close. I'm on the epilogue. I would suspect that I will have it roughed in this weekend. I would suspect, because the epilogue is not going to be a full chapter. At least I don't think it will be. It's supposed to be the big dramatic thing, though, but I'm pretty sure I know where I'm going on it, and it feels like it's going to work. So these emotional ones, they're really interesting, and especially this one, because it's a little tough pull, but I've started it, and I already pulled around one obstacle that I have a little bit of tweaking to do left on, so I can get people kind of refocused on the, you know, the moment at hand. It's going to be fun. It's just going to be fun to write. I'm looking forward to writing this. The other thing, let's see if there is So hopefully this weekend have the book roughed in. Then I have to go back and just edit like crazy, because the next 2 weeks I'm going to be editing like crazy, trying to get it squared away. And you know, when the book is 375 pages, 2 weeks is not a lot of editing time. So I'm just going to have to edit like crazy, because come June 1st, I have to get started on the cover. And I've got to get that squared away so that I can be out for beta July the 1st. So as soon as I can get a cover put together, then I've got to put out the request for beta and, start signing up people and blah, 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 blah. So a little exciting times, but I think the book is good. It went long, but, and I haven't actually read the whole thing through yet, but it feels okay. It feels okay. I'm happy. Anyways, so that's good. I came across something a couple of days ago, and I had seen this picture of the bunch of these people on this treadmill together, kind of going around together. And as I was zipping commercials, you know, watching stuff, and I saw this, and then I actually saw the commercial. It's by GNC called Average. And I was sitting there watching this commercial, and it took me a moment to realize they're talking about the flesh. And it's so well done. I mean, they use the term average, but they also talk about that voice in your head. And one of the things they do is average says just one donut hole isn't going to be any problem. And you see this woman taking this one donut hole, and then as she's walking away from the break room, all these little donut holes are on the floor following her, going, you know, they're talking to her. And I thought, is that not it? And And then they got to another spot where they're talking about Average has memory problems. The guy's like, oh, I forgot to work out again. Oh, I forgot to work out. You know, it's like, oh man, this is good. So this is going to actually be a first. I've never done this before. But I'm going to play this. And hopefully this is going to work. I don't know. I've never done this before, so we'll see. I'm going to go ahead and play this in the car so that you can hear the voice, just the voiceover part of this. I may need to have to take more than one run at this because I'm just plugging it in now to see. And so the volume may not be right. So let's just try this. Replay.
It's out there. It's that voice in your head. Making sure you sleep through that yoga class. Convincing you that one donut hole couldn't possibly lead to another. Average. Average blames the camera for those extra 10 pounds. And sets the treadmill on mosey, or stroll, or loiter. Need an excuse? Average has them all. Skip the gym. It'll probably be too crowded anyway. Average. Yeah, take it easy there, fella. Average has memory issues.
I forgot to work out.
And memory issues.
To work out.
It's crowning achievement. Everyone gets a trophy.
Average is good.
No, average is average. You can beat it. And it starts at GNC.
You're in?
I thought, when I heard that for the first time, I was like, that is excellent. Sorry, my little tuner thingy was giving a little static there. But that's, man, it's good. It's well done, Average. We were talking about everybody gets a trophy. There's all these big, long line of trophies, and everybody stands up, they get a trophy, and it says, participant. So good. It's so good. It's just the flesh, man. It's obviously the flesh. When I saw that, I thought, yeah, good. Spot the flesh in the wild. It's so interesting to me, all the different terminologies that we use in life to describe the flesh. And none of it really makes sense to me unless, as I've said over and over, the flesh is truly out to destroy us. Because then all this stuff makes sense. If the flesh hates us and is out to destroy us, all this stuff like, oh, I forgot to work out again. Oh yeah, right, you forgot. You chose not to remember, that's what happened. And the flesh distracted you. It's like, oh, something shiny, oh, you know. It's man, great commercial. I think that is my favorite flesh commercial right now of all time. I mean, the other one that I felt perfectly illustrated the flesh that didn't have anything to do with the flesh was the talking stain. That was really a Tide thing, but it was such a wonderful example of the flesh because the guy is sitting there in the job interview and he's trying to be all suave and cool and he's got this stain on his shirt and his boss is trying to listen to the guy but the stain's down there going loved that commercial because it was so much like what the flesh does to us. You know, we think we got this image of what we're projecting, and yet the flesh in us is projecting this completely different image. Oh man, good stuff. Anyways, what else happened this week? Had some nice breakfasts with friends this week. It was good. I have a young couple that I go to breakfast with on Saturday, and they were telling me about their adventures in food on Saturday. And they're really good about what they eat, and they exercise, and I mean, they, you know, they take care of themselves and blah, 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 blah. Well, the guy had graduated, and so he and his wife decided they were going to take a little graduation trip. So, you know, they took off and took a little, had a little graduation trip. And I guess they decided, we're just going to pull the stops out. We're just going to eat what we want. And so within like 3 days, they had had pizza three times and crepes and all kinds of stuff. And I'm sure they wouldn't mind me saying, but the wife was saying, I gained 14 pounds. 14 pounds in like 3 or 4 days. Or 3 days, I think it was. He'd gained 12. But of course, they'll take it back off again. So they just had a little, you know, let's go out of our minds with food day. There is a new movie out called Fed Up that looks really interesting. Looks really, really interesting. And supposedly in movie theaters now. I got to see if I can find it somewhere, because it's along the line of we've told people to eat less and exercise, and that really was not fair at all, because sugar is just as addictive as cocaine, and the food industry has plowed sugar into everything, and they've gotten an entire populace in the United States addicted to sugar. And that it, you know, takes some effort to get off it, which is an interesting topic. But anyways, that's not the topic for today. The topic for today is kind of a sidebar topic. I got a bunch of topics that are actually queued up. But this sidebar topic kind of goes in a little bit of what we were talking about last week with artificial intelligence, and are we really going to be stupid enough to build artificial intelligence and then give it weapons? Yeah, I sure hope not, but yeah, I wouldn't put it past him. Anyways, this week I was reading, actually a couple of weeks ago, I was reading an article about the discovery of a new planet, Kepler-186f, a planet that's 492 light years away in the Cygnus constellation. It's special because it marks the first planet almost exactly the same size as Earth, orbiting in the habitable zone, the distance from the star in which we might expect liquid water and perhaps life. And so that sort of led to a discussion about the concept known as the Great Filter. And the reason this is, part of the reason this is interesting to me at this point is because I'm working on this series, and in this series, humanity has spread out to planets all around our local area. And so I'm always interested to hear how that the Kepler investigations are showing that, yeah, a lot of the stars out there actually do have planets around them. And, while it's difficult for us to tell for sure, there's probably quite a few planets out there with that are in the hospitable zone, habitable zone. I mean, that you potentially, they could have water, they could have life on them. And it very much in this series of books, while certain worlds are going to be terraformed and made habitable, there's going to be just as many worlds where humanity has moved out to, and there are these perfectly beautiful worlds that have been seeded with life. There's just no intelligent life on them, and they colonize them. Well, what's interesting is there has been all along attempts to resolve the Fermi paradox. Fermi was a mathematician, and he would say wonderfully and profound deep things. And one of the wonderfully and profound deep things he said was, this is the essence of the paradox, you know, why haven't we found aliens, or why haven't they found us? despite the fact that there is hundreds of billions of stars out there that probably have planets around them that are just in our galactic neighborhood. So if there's that many out there, why have we not picked up one signal or found any kind of engineering project that suggests that, in fact, there's extraterrestrial life? What happened? And the fact that there is this apparent absence of extraterrestrial civilizations suggests that at least one of the steps from having a humble planet to an interstellar civilization is exceedingly unlikely. This is their explanation for why, so far, we seem to be somewhat alone in the universe. That, in fact, there might be something out there that would cause us to be unique because, well, maybe getting to intelligent life is rare, or because intelligent life has a tendency to go extinct. And so this bottleneck for the emergence of alien civilizations that would possibly communicate such that we could pick it up, the term for this is called the Great Filter. The Great Filter. And the idea is that there is something that is holding back these civilizations from getting to the point where they can visit other civilizations. So, of course, you know, like for 50 years, this has been debated as to, well, what might this filter be? Might it be that there just aren't that many Earth-like planets out there? You know, so the probability is really, really low that you'd even have a planet out there. It could be that you may have some planets out there, but the chance of actually getting life started is very, very low. Anything like that is kind of bound up in what you could call the rare Earth hypothesis. So the reason that you don't have contact from other alien civilizations is because alien life, life in general, the conditions for it and the emergence of it is extremely rare. Okay, so that's one thing. There is another possibility, though. And the other possibility is that we have not, in fact, made it past the filter. You know, the fact that there is life here, that there is intelligent life here. Maybe we haven't made it past the filter. That, in fact, the filter might be ahead of us. Speaking strictly in an evolutionary humanistic way, is the truth of it that life has a tendency to spring up on other planets, that it has a tendency to produce intelligent life, but unfortunately, once life actually gets started and turns intelligent, what happens next is that basically we figure out how to destroy ourselves. And is that the reason that we haven't actually seen alien races contacting us? And in fact, this is how it ties into what I talked about last week. Because that was basically Stephen Hawking and the other scientists with him, what they were trying to say is, look, with the emergence of artificial intelligence, there is the potential that this is the worst thing we could ever do, and this will be the moment of our downfall. And I guess there's also astronomer Royal Martin Rees at the Cambridge Center for the Study of Existential Risks points to advances in biotechnology as being potentially catastrophic. Certainly, there's a whole lot of ways we could wipe out the human race if we put our mind to it. And sometimes, even if we wouldn't, there's, for a lot of years, there was the idea of nanotechnology, and if you built it wrong, it would start reproducing, and it would reproduce so fast it would basically consume all the resources of the world within just a few days. Done. So it's not a stretch to think that, you know, even if life is popping up all over the place, if this universe is in fact, in my mind, designed to create life everywhere, it might not be a stretch from a humanistic standpoint to say, well, even if there is intelligent, I got my mail. Ta-da. Even if there was intelligent life that sprung up on all these different planets, that maybe the reason we're not getting contacted is because they just wiped themselves out. Which kind of brings us back to the discovery of this planet and the statement at the beginning of this whole article that I found really interesting, and that was that what did not make the news after the discovery of this planet, the article says, is that this discovery also slightly increases how much credence we might give. Hold on, I'm backing into my garage. Let me get this done since I want to read this quote because it's a nice quote. Oh, I sure hope I am not going to run into something because I'm really close to the wall here, but we'll be okay. No crunchies yet. Okay. So it says, what did not make the news, however, is that this discovery also slightly increases how much credence we give to the possibility of our own near-term extinction. And they said, this is because of the concept known as the Great Culture. Okay, so then, let's see, where's the end of it? The Great Filter, but each new discovery of an Earth-like planet in the habitable zone, such as Kepler 18186F, makes it less plausible that there are no planets aside from Earth that might support life. In other words, the filter might be ahead of us, not behind us. The Great Filter is thus more likely to be lurking in the path between habitable planet and flourishing civilization. If Kepler 186F is teeming with intelligent life, then that would be really bad news for humanity, because it would push back the Great Filter's position further into the technological stages of a civilization's development. This would imply that catastrophe awaits both us and our extraterrestrial companions. In the case of Kepler-186f, we have many reasons to think intelligent life might not emerge. The atmosphere might be too thin to prevent freezing, or the planet might be tidally locked, causing a relatively static environment. Discovery of those hostile conditions should be cause for celebration. As philosopher Nick Bostrom once said, the silence of the night sky is golden. In the search for extraterrestrial life, no news is good news. It promises a potentially great future for humanity. Anyways, I thought that was really, really interesting. Now, you know, a lot of people along the way have asked me, so do you think there's other life out there? And my response has always been, well, why wouldn't Jesus make more? I don't know that there would be any reason that Jesus wouldn't make more. That would be one possibility. The other possibility is that, in fact, this universe exists to answer some basic questions, like the question of sin. What does the Creator do when the creation rebels? And if we are here to answer that question, it could very well be that we're the only ones here. But it could also be that, as C.S. Lewis thought, that we're like a quarantine world, that there is all this other fabulous civilization and things going on out there, but we're just off limits because we sinned, which is kind of an interesting idea. It could also be that, in fact, we are the first, but we're not intended to be the last. That, in fact, once the question of sin gets resolved, that there will be a new civilization, a new heaven, a new earth, based on our experiences, that will then grow into this huge, amazing, flourishing civilization. It's just going to be really interesting to see how it all works out. And as I'm fond of saying, you know, in 50,000 years, what difference is it going to make when I'm trying to make decisions about what I'm doing? The other way to look at that is, in 50,000 years, isn't it going to be really cool to look back on all this stuff and all our speculations and to finally have some understanding about where we are? It's in eternity is a fascinating, fascinating concept. Anyways, I'm home. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.